It is that last verse that we have read that I want to draw your attention to for a little while this afternoon. It says there in verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I want to draw your attention today to the saving truth, that there is in the Word of God. It was Pilate who actually asked the Lord Jesus the question, "What is truth?" John's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 38. What is truth? Well, he couldn't have asked a better person than to have asked the Lord Jesus that particular question. For the Lord Jesus was indeed well able to answer that question of Pilate. There's such a thing as truth. Now, how do we define what truth is? Well, one definition of truth is that it is a quality or a property that is in accord with fact and reality. I'll say that again. One definition of truth is that it is a quality or a property of being in accord with that which is fact or that which is reality. Now, there are certain physical truths that are observable to us in the world, and they accord with fact and with reality. They're those things that we can observe with our own physical eye, and we know that they are true. There are other things that have been discovered by scientists in laboratories and under the microscope, maybe even very powerful microscopes, they're able to detect that which is truth, that which exists in fact and reality. So there are physical truths, but then there's also spiritual truths. And that's what I want us to think about for a little while. That's what the Lord Jesus is speaking about here in this portion of John's Gospel, chapter 8. He's speaking about spiritual truth. He's speaking about truth that will save the soul. Oh, there's truth that, as I say, is applicable to the physical world around us, even our physical bodies. There are observable truths in the world that apply to the physical. But you and I are more than just a physical entity. When we were made by God, He breathed into us and we became a living soul. There is a spiritual entity to us. We have a soul that lives within the body and will depart at the point of death and go out into God's eternity. We are more than just the physical. We are also a spiritual entity. And there are spiritual truths that we need to consider. And the Lord Jesus here is speaking about some of those spiritual truths when he was speaking to the Jews at that particular time. Truths that will save the soul. And how important it is that we give regard to those men and women. The truths that will save the soul. And that is what I want to draw to your attention for a little while. Particularly out of these words of the Lord Jesus, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, the first thing that I want you to consider here is that there has to be an acknowledgement of the truth. That is suggested to us in that word, "Ye shall know." Ye shall know the truth. There has to be an acknowledgement of the truth. Just the same way as we acknowledge that there are certain truths that exist and are observable in the physical world, so there is a need to acknowledge that there are spiritual truths that exist as well. Sadly, many in this day and age in which we live have a tendency to close their ear and close their mind to spiritual truth. They have no problem thinking about physical truth, at least in the main. But many a heart is closed. Many an individual does not want to think or acknowledge at all that there exists certain spiritual truths. But surely that's where we need to start, first of all, by acknowledging there's such a thing as spiritual truth. Ye shall know the truth. Ye shall acknowledge the truth. And if a soul is ever to be saved, if a soul is ever to be in heaven, then there has to be an acknowledgement of the truth. Now there's two ways in which we can acknowledge the truth. First of all, we can acknowledge the truth that is in the incarnate Christ. The incarnate Word, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also we can acknowledge the truth that exists in the inspired Word. So you have the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you have the inspired Word, the Word of God, the Bible. And that is where we find the truth about spiritual things. We will not find the truth about spiritual things in ourselves, in our own minds, in our own understandings. We will not find spiritual truth in turning to any other individual, human individual in this world. We will never come to an understanding of what spiritual truth is if we do that. Spiritual truth is not found in the philosophies of men and the ideologies that exist in this world. Spiritual truth is found in two places. First of all, in the inspired Word of God, and also in the incarnate Word of God. You'll remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said he was the truth. John chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ there declared that he was the truth. He was the truth. He is the way because we are lost. He is the life because we are dead in trespasses and in sins. He is the truth, men and women, because we are prone to believe the lie and we do not know the way to heaven. But there's one who said, I am the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Isn't it interesting that having spoken to the Lord Jesus Christ, even about that very subject, as I mentioned there a moment ago, that Pilate asked the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the truth? And after having conversed with Jesus Christ, Pilate went out to the crowd, to the multitude that were gathered outside the judgment hall, and Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Pilate's opinion of Jesus Christ changed. And it was fixed as well. If only he had gone through with what he knew to be the truth and not had washed his hands and given Christ over to be crucified. But after having conversed with Jesus Christ, that's what Pilate did. He went out and said, I find no fault in this man. He had conversed with the one who is the truth. So the truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. But the truth is also found in the incarnate Word and also in the inspired Word. And that brings us to the Scriptures. And there's a wonderful title given to the Word of God over in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, verse 21. It speaks there of the Scripture of Truth. The Scripture of Truth. The Word of God is the Scripture of Truth. We would even emphasize the point today that it doesn't say the Scriptures of Truth, although that would be a very accurate statement as well. The word Scripture means writing. It comes from the verb to write. So when you read there in the Word of God or somewhere else about the Scriptures, you're thinking about the writings, the scripted words. And there are places where it speaks about the Scriptures. But there in Daniel chapter 10, it is singular. It speaks only of the Scripture. And it is a reminder that all of Scripture is truth. All of it, from beginning to end. You don't have to search the Bible to find the truth. The Bible is the truth. You don't have to go through the Word of God like an editor and scoring out and deleting certain parts of the Bible because it's not true. The Bible is true from start to finish. From the opening word of Genesis to the very last word of the book of the Revelation. The Word of God is the truth. It's called the Scripture of Truth. And what you find in the Word of God is what is true. When we come to think of spiritual things, what the Bible has to say about physical things is true as well. But we're thinking this afternoon particularly of spiritual truth. And what the Word of God has to say is true about spiritual things. So that's where we have to start when we come to think about the truth. You have to acknowledge the source of the truth. And the truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ and also in the Word of God. So there is the acknowledgement that you have here. I want you also to think about the reception that you have here. There has to be a receiving of the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There has to be a reception of the truth. There has to be more than just a mere head knowledge. It has to be more than some vague acquaintance with the Bible or with Jesus Christ. There were those who lived on the earth in the land of Israel when Jesus Christ was here on the scene of time. And they interacted with him. Some of them spoke to him. Some of them watched him, observed him. But that's as far as it ever went. There was never on their part any reception of the truth. It's the same with the Bible in our times. There's people who may know that the Bible exists. They may be able to quote some verse of the Bible. They might be aware of what the Bible claims about certain things, but they've never really received the truth. They've never received it. They have a passing acquaintance with the truth, but they have never received it. They don't know it in that sense. And men and women, there has to be a reception of the truth. There has to be a reception of the person of Jesus Christ. There is no other way of salvation but by accepting the person of Jesus Christ. And if you deny Jesus Christ, and if you deny his atoning death on the cross, then your soul will perish for all of eternity. It doesn't matter what else you have. You can have religion, and you can have plenty of sincerity about your religion. You can be devoted to it, but if it's a lie, it's never going to save your soul. There has to be a reception of the person of Jesus Christ, because he is the Savior, the only Savior. He is the one who made a sacrifice of himself in order to save sinners and to bring them on to God. And therefore, if you're going to receive the truth, then you have to receive Jesus Christ. You have to come as a sinner to the cross, and you have to accept him. You have to receive him. Isn't that the word that is used in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 12? As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. As many as received him. There has to be a reception of the person of Jesus Christ. And I repeat that point. Unless you and I receive Christ, there is no salvation. There is no possibility of ever being in heaven without a reception of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But then, do we not have to accept the scriptures as well? Do we not have to accept the scripture of truth that speaks of Christ? You and I cannot see him today. He is not here on earth in the visible sense. He was here for that period of time, and then he took his leave of us, and he is at his Father's right hand today in glory. So we cannot see him. We cannot hear him. We cannot observe him in that sense. So how do we come to know him? We do so through the Word of God. The scripture has been given to reveal Jesus Christ. It tells you that in John's Gospel as well. John chapter 1 again. And it tells you there that he is the one who has come to make known the Father. He is the one who has come to reveal And he did that while he was here on earth, and now he does it through the scripture. It is the word of God that reveals Jesus Christ to us today. And what we are to accept and believe about the person of Jesus Christ is found in this book and in this book alone. And if somebody says something about Jesus Christ and it is not found in this book, then it is not to be believed. It is to be rejected. And there's many a blasphemous thing said about the person of Jesus Christ. And we reject everything that is said about Christ that is not contained in the Word of God. What we believe about Jesus Christ is what the Bible says and what the Bible only says. And there has to be a reception of this revelation of Jesus Christ. Have you ever come to receive Christ as he is revealed? Not a Christ of your own imagination. Not a Christ that the world would have us to follow after. But the Christ of the Bible. Have we ever accepted the Christ of the Bible? Well, we cannot ever be saved and in heaven until we accept the Christ of the Bible. Accept the revelation that God has given of his own dear Son. The revelation of a Savior. The revelation of only one Savior. And it is by faith in this Savior. There is no other way to be saved but by faith in Jesus Christ. And may there be in our hearts this very day a reception of Jesus Christ. How necessary that is. If you're ever to be in heaven, my friend, you have to accept the Christ of the Bible and all that the Bible has to say about him. You have to accept that. You have to accept when the Bible tells you you're a sinner in need of Christ, and I am a sinner in need of Christ. We have to accept when the Bible tells us that salvation is in none other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to accept that. There has to be a reception of the truth of the Word of God. That brings me on then to the final thing that I want to draw to your attention. Not only an acknowledgement of the truth, not only a reception of the truth, but my friend, this text of Scripture tells us of liberation by the truth. There's liberation by the truth. You see, when you acknowledge the truth and receive the truth, it does something. It's a living truth. It's not a dead letter. It's not something that means nothing, and it doesn't matter whether you accept it or whether you don't. The truth of God is a living truth, and it does something in the heart and life of the individual who receives it. It liberates them. The Lord Jesus Christ said here, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And it's interesting to notice who it is that he's speaking these words to. It tells you that he said it to those who believed on him. Just there in the previous verse, verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth makes souls free. Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the condemnation of sin. Free from the servitude of the devil. That's what the truth does. It is a living truth. It is a liberating truth. It is a truth that works within our heart and soul, and it breaks the power of sin, and it sets the captive free. My friend, you might feel yourself today to be a captive to sin, and you cannot break sin, and you cannot change your life of your own accord. But I tell you, there's one who will set you free, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth, and he will set men free. The truth of the gospel, the truth that is in Jesus Christ, sets sinners free. And that's what the Lord Jesus was telling those who believed on him. They received the truth, and he says, in receiving the truth, it will set you free. I wonder today, have you been liberated by the truth? Has the truth set you free? Can you say that? Can you testify to that today? That the truth has indeed set you free. It's broken the shackles of sin in your life. The bands, the chains of sin have been broken. You've been set free. It's a bit like Peter when he was in that inner prison and kept by those four quaternionist soldiers. And the angel of the Lord came and awoke him and brought him out of that prison cell and set him at liberty. Is that what has happened to your soul? Has the truth come and worked in your heart? Come to you in that prison cell of your sin? And has it set you free? And today you know the liberty that is found in Jesus Christ. It's a living truth. It's a liberating truth. And my friend, may we indeed know the experience of it in our lives. Oh, let it be a personal truth. Let it be a truth that lives in our own hearts and lives today. That we have embraced it and we have come to believe on Jesus Christ and we have been set free. And maybe you're under the sound of this gospel message today and you have to acknowledge that you're not a soul set free. You're in bondage to your sins. Oh, my friend, then the exhortation of the gospel is for you to come to Christ, for you to seek him, for you to call upon him just where you are just now. Call upon him. Believe on him to the saving of your soul. Believe the truth, and in the act of believing, the truth will make you free. What a glorious thing today it is to be free. And Christian, today, rejoice in being set free. Sometimes we forget what it is to have been set free. Sometimes we fail just to appreciate fully what it is to be enslaved by Satan and sin. But if the Lord has saved you, then rejoice in it and give thanks that you're a soul that has been liberated. How precious a thing liberty is. There's people who'll die in this world for liberty under some oppressive regime somewhere in the world, and they're striving for liberty and for freedom, and there's people who are prepared to die for it. My friend, Jesus Christ died to give us liberty from our sins, and if we have it, may we rejoice in it. May we count it the greatest of blessings to be a soul set free. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake.